And so this message is coming off the back of last week's message, which was all about living a life of worship. And that's because it's important that when we worship, you know, some people are good at one of two things. Some people are good at worshiping Jesus on a Sunday, like when they worship Jesus, like, wow, that person is a serious worshiper. But how does the rest of their life look? You know, does Jesus, am I worshiping Jesus every day of the week with the way I live? And God does care about what's happening inside my heart as much as he cares about what's happening outwardly. But on the other hand, you know, if I tell my own story, there was a time in my walk with the Lord where I loved Jesus. I was very passionate about purity and holiness, and I was zealous for the Lord. But when I was worshiping on a Sunday, if you had to look at me, you wouldn't think I loved Jesus because I was very stoic on the outside. And I had a party going on the inside. But on the outside, I looked like I was maybe at a funeral or something like that. And I know why. I know why I worshiped like that. And it was because I'm going to be vulnerable now, so don't judge me. I had a challenge expressing my feelings towards people. Not only towards God, I would struggle to be vulnerable and express how I felt towards my family and my friends. I would struggle to just say to someone, hey, man, I love you. I really enjoy your friendship. Your friendship is so beautiful. I'd struggle to be emotionally vulnerable. And so when I was with God in worship, I loved God with all my heart, but I would struggle to express that because expressing things which were matters of the heart was hard for me. There are lots of reasons for that. I don't want to explain or justify myself. But God had to take me on a little bit of a journey where I would not only worship God with my life, I was quite good at that. But actually when it came to expressing my love for Jesus with my song and with my body in actual like corporate worship, the act of worship, I actually found that quite hard. And so what you find is some people find one hard and some people find the other hard, but actually both empower each other. A life of worship that is expressed in the action of worship is what God cares about. And so both empower each other. And you can't have the one without the other, or you shouldn't have one without the other. So actually how we express our worship to Jesus is actually very important. It is actually very important. And so I'm going to be answering the question this morning, why is it important that we grow in being able to express our worship to Jesus? Because doesn't he see my heart? So what difference does it make if I express it outwardly? A little challenge to that question would be, imagine saying that to your wife. You know, you never tell me you love me. You never cuddle me and you never embrace me and you never show your... But honey, you know, deep down, inside, I love you. You know that. Why are you doubting that? You know, I said I loved you on our wedding day and nothing has changed from that day to this. In human relationships, we see through that fraud. Love needs expression. Love needs expression, and that's true with people, but it's also true with God. And so why is it so important that we learn to express our worship to God? I'm going to answer that question in a socially awkward way by asking more questions, more rhetorical questions. Why is our worship so important to Jesus? Well, why is it that when we are expressing our worship and we are singing together and we are pouring our devotion on Jesus, why is it those moments where it often feels like heaven starts to blend with earth? So many people said it to me, I can't even count how many, that at the last 412 conference we were at, when we had this corporate worship, there were moments when it honestly felt like, if I have my eyes closed, I'm not sure if I'm in heaven or on earth. Why does that always happen when we are worshiping Jesus? It's because as we draw near to him, He draws near to us. Why is it that demons hate worship? Why is it always in worship that the demons start screaming? What is it about worship that they are allergic to? And all the emotional allergies pop up when we're worshiping. Why is it then when we're worshiping, prophecy begins to stir? Have you noticed that? How many times as we're worshiping and the presence of the Lord comes, suddenly all the prophets start lining up in the front and the Lord starts speaking? Why is it that the Lord always stirs prophecy when we're worshiping? Why is it that when we're worshiping Jesus, that a spirit of heaviness and depression and anxiety leaves? Why is it when we worship? What is it about worship that is actually so spiritually significant that we not only know in a cerebral way, but we begin to taste and see that He is good? You know, I am somebody that is known for my mind. Some people have said I have a beautiful mind, but I don't like that because there's a movie by the same name, and it wasn't a compliment in that movie. But why is it that I love to study God, but actually in worship, I actually taste Him. I experience Him. I experience Him in a spiritual, experiential way. The Bible actually says, how crazy is this? I love this. The Bible says that if we stop worshiping, guess what? The rocks will cry out. Maybe we should stop worshiping just to witness that. No, I'm just kidding. How cool would it be to see Table Mountain competing with us on a Sunday morning? And that's because creation itself worships God because it's created by God. And worship is the fitting response of what is created to the Creator. In Psalm 22, verse 3, it says, "You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." That word enthroned means that when we are praising God, when we are worshiping Him, it means to sit, to dwell, to remain, to inhabit. As God's people proclaim their love to Him, proclaim their delighting in God, it actually invites His presence. It rises up to Him like a sweet fragrance. It actually brings joy to His heart. He delights in our worship. Our worship is very beautiful to God. It's not just a song. It's love that's being expressed to Him. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit," not spirits with a small s, but "the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. And then it goes on to say how. This is how we are filled with the Spirit: speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music. Whoa, too soon. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Here's a little bit of a lesson in music, because some people get confused over these phrases. Some people, for some reason, associate real spiritual music with hymns, old hymns. They seem to be more spiritual. Why? Because they're old. That's not true, friends. It doesn't matter how old a song doesn't become more spiritual the older it is. A hymn just means a composed worship song. It doesn't have any reference to time. Psalms are scripture that is set to music. And then spiritual songs are spirit-prompted expressions, some often spontaneous. The Bible speaks a lot about new songs, singing a new song to the Lord, We see an example of this when the angel came and spoke to Mary and said that Jesus is going to be born, and she burst out into song. She sang a Spirit-inspired song in that moment. That is a spiritual song. So sometimes even in worship, somebody will come to the microphone and they'll sing a new song, a Spirit-inspired song. These are all the ways in which we worship the Lord. And as we worship the Lord, it's not just one directional. Our hearts draw near to Him, but His heart also draws near to us. And He comes and He inhabits our praises. He draws near to us as we worship Him. We worship because worship is associated with worth. We worship anything which we find precious. And that's not just God. Worship is something we do instinctively. We worship celebrities sometimes. We hopefully wouldn't call it that, but it's essentially what we're doing. You go to the next slide, you'll see a good example, and I think a very there's a fitting one which has got to do with sports, which came up when we were praying earlier, that oftentimes we will worship when our team kicks a goal. We are celebrating. We are rejoicing because of something that is very important to us. It is very precious to us. Worship is something that we do instinctively. And in Revelation 5, it says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." We worship because He's worthy. He's worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. If we had to have a little glimpse right now into heaven, what we would see is worship. In fact, the next the verse there says, "I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000s, encircling the throne." And they are worshiping God. If you are still growing in worship, I would encourage you, keep growing in worship, because when you get to heaven, it's going to be really awkward if worship is not your vibe. You're going to feel very out of place, because worship is what we are made for. It's the most beautiful expression of how much we love Jesus and what His love is worth to us. And so giving expression to our worship is at the heart of what it actually means to be a Christian. One of the objections that often comes up that I want to speak about now is, what happens if I come to church on a Sunday and everybody's so full of joy and people are singing and they're dancing, but I feel miserable? What do I do then? Because I feel like if I get all happy and I get all crazy and singing and dancing, I'll just be fake. I'll just be faking. That's not really how I feel. And we, in our generation, we value authenticity. Authenticity, how we understand it, means to be true to how I feel. And if I don't act in a way that's not true to how I feel, then I'm being fake. I'm being a hypocrite. So what do you do if it's time to worship Jesus, but you're feeling miserable? What do you do then? Worship anyway. Well, I think we need to identify what it actually means to be authentic. To be authentic doesn't mean to be true to how you feel. To be authentic means to be true to what is true. Our feelings don't determine what is true. God's word determines what is true. Jesus doesn't deserve worship when I'm feeling happy. He's deserving of worship because He is good. He is glorious. He is gracious. And actually, in a culture which often makes an idol out of how we feel, we need to come in the opposite spirit and be a people who worship God. Why? Because He is worthy. He was worthy. He is worthy. He will always be worthy. And sometimes, friends, the very best thing that you can do when you are in your feels is to transfer your attention from what you're going through to the glory of Jesus. Oftentimes, it's the very, very best thing that you can do to actually pull yourself out of the pit that you've fallen into, is to actually transfer my attention to from what I'm going through to who Jesus is. Here's a beautiful example of this in Scripture. In Psalm 103, just pay attention to what David is doing here. I actually think in this moment he came into church on a Sunday morning and wasn't feeling it. This is what he says. Praise the Lord. Who's he speaking to? My soul. That's an interesting worship song. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Here he's reminding himself of what is true. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things. Why do I share this with you? This has not even got to do with Sunday. Let's not even talk about Sunday anymore. If I'm in the week and I'm feeling depressed, and I'm feeling down, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm feeling anxious or lonely or in despair, I have learned to remind myself of who God is. And take a moment, take 15 minutes and say, Lord, you know what, for the next 15 minutes, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to set my attention, my love, my affection, my devotion on you, and I'm just going to worship you for who you are. Try it. See how you feel after 15 minutes of just worshiping God in the Spirit, worshiping Him with songs that you know. The Holy Spirit begins to give you songs. Do you know that in the Old Testament, Saul would often be tormented by an evil spirit, and it would affect his mind. And what he would do is he would call David to bring his guitar and lead him into some worship. And David would do that, and you know what happened? The spirit would leave when David would worship. And so worship is actually a weapon by which we actually draw near to God, but also his spirit comes and other spirits leave. And so this is not even just about Sunday, but it also does apply on Sundays. In Isaiah 61, it says, God wants to provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning. And listen to this, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Do you know that as we worship, God can take your despair and give you a garment of praise. He can give you joy. Who of you have tried this before? It works, eh? Am I right? It works. It's a weapon. In Acts 16, we see that Paul and Silas had just been flogged. They'd just been beaten. They'd just been locked up in prison. That would be a perfect time for two mates to talk about how terrible their life is right now. Agreed? But instead, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to their singing. That means they probably sang well. Or maybe the other prisoners were just so bored, there was nothing else to listen to, so they were listening to their singing. I'm not sure what the context was or how well they sang. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. These are physical chains, bust off by the power of God as they worshipped. What if, spiritually, this morning even, God popped off spiritual chains, spirits of anxiety and depression and despair as we worship? This is God's way. Can you see how important it is that worship finds expression, that it's something that we do, not just something that we feel inside? I want to touch now on a cultural idol. Is that fine? Is it fine if we go after cultural idols this morning? You can put up the slide which says Western worship versus Hebrew worship. Not that one. Western worship versus Hebrew worship. On the left, we have Western worship. What do I mean by that? In the West, we have this conception that worship is supposed to be reverent. It's supposed to be quiet. It's supposed to be solemn. It's supposed to be sad. Because when we worship Jesus, what could be more appropriate than to be feeling really sad in your heart as you consider his goodness and his mercy and his great salvation? Can we all assume the position of sucking on lemons? Because that is the appropriate way to commemorate God's incredible goodness in our lives. And on the right, we have some Hasidic Jews, and they are worshiping. And I've actually got a little video. Would you like to see a video of some Hebrew worship? If we can get that link working. Let's. You can hear it. Okay, when you get it working, you can play it. There it is. There's a lot of anticipation now after the music. A live reenactment. That looks more promising. As you were watching, you might have seen forms of dance which you have possibly seen in City Bowl before. So the question is, why do they dance like that? Why do they worship God like that? Where did they get that culture from? Any ideas? From Scripture. From Scripture. They got it from Scripture. Let me take you through a few of them. Their culture has been formed by the Bible. Psalm 96. Let's go to the next one. Sing to the Lord. Sing a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds. Shout for joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Doesn't that look like what they were doing? Did they look quite glad? They look pretty happy, eh? So it's not actually true that you have to be sad in order to give reverence to the Lord. That is a cultural phenomenon. That is not a biblical phenomenon. We don't honor the Lord in sadness. Clap your hands, all you nations. Did you see a bit of clapping in that dance video? Shout to God with cries of sadness, joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome. That's awesome, like as in the old school awesome, like as in fills me with awe. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Anybody bring a ram's horn this morning? Praise him with the lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Is dancing a Western thing or a Hebrew thing, or is it a God thing? God loves celebrating his goodness with dance. Let's take our culture captive to the kingdom of God. What does God love? What is the kind of worship that God loves? This is his love language we're talking about over here. In Psalm 134, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Friends, lifting your hands is not a Pentecostal thing. despite all the Pentecostal jokes. Raising your hands in worship is a biblical thing. It's how God loves to be worshipped. Come and let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. We worship Him in kneeling and bowing before Him as well. What's my point here? My point is simply that true worship involves all of who we are. Our emotions, our mind, our bodies, our voices. True worship is a whole person activity. And isn't that also true how we like to be celebrated? When it's your birthday party, do you want people to celebrate with you with their inward being, but outwardly look sad and reserved? No, that's not how we celebrate people's lives. At a wedding, do you want everyone to be somber and still before the Lord as we commemorate this auspicious occasion? No, we don't like to be celebrated like that. And God is also a person that loves to be celebrated with all that we are. And how crazy is this? Do you know that God does the same over you? In Zephaniah 3, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. That word rejoice, the Hebrew word means to spin around under the influence of any violent emotion. I'm suspecting the violent emotion is joy in that instance, because He is rejoicing over you. God dances over you. He sings over you. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God shall rejoice over you. And so I'm going to end by talking about, well, why do we sometimes not feel the freedom? My title for this message this morning is Worship That Is Free From Fear. Friends, the thing that keeps us from expressing our worship to Jesus is often fear. What are we afraid of? We are afraid of looking foolish. We are very conscious of what other people think of us. I remember being in church on a Sunday where maybe 200 people were present, and I wanted to lift my hands, and I felt like if I lift my hands, every person in this whole place is going to stare at me and think I'm weird. Has anyone ever felt like that before? You literally feel like the whole worship is going to stop, and the preacher's going to say, sorry guys, could I please just draw your attention? Luke Hulley has just raised not one, but two hands to the Lord in adoration and praise. I think he might have just hopped out of absolute ecstasy and joy over his great salvation. We feel like that, but it's such an irrational fear, isn't it? Friends, no one cares what you are doing between you and the Lord. No one cares. And even if we did care, what difference does that make? When David worshipped before the Lord, he got rebuked by his wife. And she said, "You've made a fool out of yourself today." And this was David's response in 2 Samuel 6, verse 20. He said, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord." And then he said something scary. "I will become even more undignified." I'm not sure what that would look like. "And I will be humiliated in my own eyes." Friends, we either make much of Jesus or we make much of ourselves. Sometimes worshiping Jesus comes at the expense of our own reputation. John the Baptist says, "He must become greater, I must become less." I don't care what people think about me. I just care about what people think of Jesus. We can't fear God and fear people at the same time. We're either going to worship Him because He's worthy, or we're going to worship what people think of us and be held captive to our fear of people. And so how do we overcome fear of man? Well, you overcome it one step of obedience at a time. I remember God made both my two worst fears compound into one situation on an awful day when we went on an outreach. I, as a young teenager, was very crippled by what my peers thought of me. And at school was the one place I was really scared to be a Christian, because I thought people would think I'm an idiot, which they probably would have. And I remember we did an outreach when I was just finished school. I was literally one year out of school. And we did an outreach into a school. And somebody said, we're going to have a worship party in the school. And there I had two of my worst fears compounded in one moment. My fear of expressing my worship before people and horror of horrors at a school. And I remember the Lord saying, today I want to break this fear of man off of you. I want you to worship me like nobody's watching. It was agony. But I remember like, Lord, I'm going to do it. And I remember lifting my hands and just worshiping Jesus with all of my heart. And something broke off of me that day. The only way you can break fear of man is by stepping out in obedience and faith in Jesus as an outward step of saying, Lord, today this idol of fear of man dies. And as you keep on stepping out in faith, you actually form a new muscle where you actually only start caring about Jesus and you stop worrying about people. But friends, if we can't do it in church, if we can't break fear of man in church, where everyone else loves Jesus, how are we going to break fear of man in the world? How are we going to break fear of man in the marketplace, in our universities? And so I believe God wants us to learn to give expression to our worship, that actually we would learn to overcome our insecurities and worship him before an audience of one. That my love and my devotion would be poured out to him. And as I do that, that his spirit would fill me. And that other spirits would leave. And that actually our worship would rise up as a sweet fragrance. Why? Because it's for Jesus, not for people. Some people are afraid of hype. Can I define it correctly? Hype is when you are worshiping, but you're not doing it with an eye to Jesus. You're just enjoying the music. There's a difference between enjoying the music and dancing because it's your favorite song and worshiping Jesus with your words and your worship. Does that make sense? There is such a thing as hype. Some people are good at dancing. They love dancing. They may or may not be thinking about Jesus. That's hype. Worship is when, out of reverence for Christ, out of my love and adoration for Jesus, I pour out my worship. Amen? Lord Jesus, I want to pray for us as a congregation that we would worship you free from fear, free from inhibition, free from slavery to our culture, from insecurities. Lord Jesus, that we would be a people, a bride, that would gloriously reflect a people who love you and who fear only you. And I want to pray even this morning, Lord Jesus, that there would be a complete yielding of our hearts, a surrendering of our will, of our mind, of our emotions. Lord Jesus, that we would worship you because you are worthy of worship. Lord, I want to pray, would you replace a spirit of despair with a garment of praise? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to pray, as in heaven, so let it be here in this place. As in heaven, where there are angels and elders and creatures worshiping you day and night, just completely captivated, completely in awe, completely in wonder and amazement at your glory and your beauty. So be it on earth, here with us. May your people delight in you, Jesus. May our worship reflect the worship of heaven. Why don't we stand?